As the Lord shall help me, I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. What a mercy, dear friends, that there is such a God to go to. One to have faith to put our trust in. And that good hope through grace that he hath begun with you and not you with him. Oh, he is then, dear friends, this mighty God. I am the Lord, that is my name. And we often have to prove how weak and faint we are in believing in him and putting our trust in him. Well, we're brought here, are we not? We cry and shout, and he seems oftentimes to shut out our prayer. The heavens seem to be as brass, but God does reign. And through mercy, he will reveal himself to his chosen elect people. And what a privilege this is, if he's raised up a hope in your heart and mind, that he is our God. And who else can we go to if he gives us this measure of living faith to believe him to be our God? And no man hath seen God at any time, but his Son hath declared him. And Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, came into the world to do the will of the Father. And it was that he might satisfy the just demands of the law, raise up a hope in our hearts as sinners, that Christ died for us. How vital it is then for the Lord to do the leading. He has said in his word, I will lead. It isn't you and me running before the Lord, but the Lord leading you. He knows the end from the beginning of our lives, and our very minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. Why does he not tell us that ye are of more value than many sparrows, and not one of those shall fall to the ground without your Father's leave? What little faith we possess. And yet, through the mercy of God, if it is but a little of that living faith. It will never fail. And that living faith will desire to depend upon the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ. Oh, don't we plead these promises then at the throne of grace? Do we not come and prove that when most we need His helping hand, this friend is always near? We lose sight of that, don't we, that He is omnipresent. Though He is ascended in heaven as that high priest, He filled that office of the high priest. And there is an high priest, dear friends, that is touched with a feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And Paul says, as inspired by the Spirit in his epistle, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. And so faith in exercise will lead a blind man to the throne of grace. There were those by the wayside that had heard the fame of Jesus. There was blind Bartimaeus, we read of two other disciples as well. You might call them disciples because they were called by grace. They desired to have the eyes of their understanding, their natural eyesight given them, and because they had heard of the fame of Jesus. And what a mercy if it is that you and I have heard of this name, and it's been effectual. His name has been as ointment, and when we look upon ointments, we think immediately of the use of them naturally for healing. And so we look upon medicine as the means of healing, if the Lord will bless it. And oh, how much more vital is this precious name of Jesus. And to a sinner that has been convinced of his sinnership, he will be found, I believe, looking to the Lord, that He might condescend to break through the gloom, to open his blind eyes, to unstop his deaf ears, that he might be shown the way wherein he can obtain eternal life at last. How vital it is for you and me then to be granted, dear friends, the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, the gift of living faith. Jesus is the author of our faith, and He, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God to intercede for us. You see, we must have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of those that shall diligently seek Him. I will bring the blind. He draws you and me as a blind beggar by the wayside. This world is the wayside to you and me. But the Lord draws you as a blind beggar. And you come with a desire that the Lord would anoint your eyes, that you might have that eye to see the way, the truth and the life, and the way of escape from the wrath to come. How Jesus says, I will bring. Oh, what a mercy that He brings. He gathers each and every son and daughter of God in the covenant. In that set time, He reaches forth His arm and arrests them. He causes you and me to begin to be in want for the vital knowledge of the truth. You want to be enabled to set to your seal that God is true. 'Tis the Spirit's work then in your heart and mine to grant you this authority of living faith. For whosoever cometh to God must believe that He is. And if you believe that He is, you'll also desire to believe that He's a rewarder of those that shall diligently seek him. There's much toiling and rowing. We find it in the ministry. It's often, who hath believed our report? You may have heard me say it many times, but it is so in this dark day. But the Lord is not going to have such men as oneself to be left to glory in the flesh. It's a strange and mysterious pathway, is the pathway of the ministry, as it is with a believer. The path of those that are to be justified by faith in Christ. You'll never be justified anyway, any other way, friends, but by faith, trusting in the living God. Now the Lord is the author of your faith. Jesus Christ is the author of it, and he'll keep alive your soul. And so if this blessed Jesus, Lord, as he says, I am the Lord, that is my name, he's not going to give his glory to some preacher or some believer. No, because they would only glory in the flesh over it. We know our own hearts, don't we? We have to painfully learn our own hearts and how prone we are to glory in the flesh, left to ourselves. But he says, I will bring. You see, the Lord makes you to be burdened with the guilt and the power of your sins. And you have to realize the wretchedness of your sinful man. Oh, wretched man that I am, says a poor sinner. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Oh, who can we look to but this precious Jesus, the one object that we would have as our first desire to know him, this mighty Saviour, that he might bring us by, as a blind sinner, by a way that they knew not. If we could see, dear friends, the way that lay before us to get to heaven, we should probably shrink from it. But the Lord, my friends, in his loving kindness and his tender mercies which have been ever of old, will lead you in paths that you have not known. It's going to lead you in paths that you have not known. The steps, dear friends, of his dear children, the steps of his dear children will be amongst these good men. There's a good principle within them, the fear of the Lord. All that principle within you and me, do we possess it? We desire to possess it. Hope that we have had evidences that we possess this fear of the Lord in our hearts. It's not a slavish fear as those that would be following the awful system of Catholicism, wherein that they think man, the priest, has the authority to forgive sin. Or there's only one, as you and I are well acquainted with, that can pardon your sins. And oh, how we need the Lord then to bring us. Bring as a blind beggar in a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. But what does he say in all these things? He says, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. You see, you may be tempest-tossed here tonight. You're fearful of the unknown way. But has not the Lord begun that good work in you? Casting your eyes back over life's little journey, has not the Lord given you a promise? Has he not said to you, as a poor sinner, fear thou not, for I am with thee? Do you think that then that he's given such a promise to a poor sinner, he's going to withdraw that promise? You know, my friends, his mind and his wisdom are infinite. He is not, dear friends, a changing God. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. This raises up a hope in my heart as I speak to you of those former days, those Miser's Hill and Herman's Mount blessings, when you know the Lord spoke to your heart, when he said unto you, my presence shall go with you, when he said, certainly I will be with thee, when he said, fear not, I am the first and the last, fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's omnipresent. And so, dear friends, he's going to bring you in a way that you knew not. You might have sought out your way. You might have made plans for your providential pathway. You may have even been enabled to set your mind to this and that, and the Lord has enabled you to do this and that thus far. But what about the unknown way? What about the pathway that leads your never-dying soul into heaven? It is a pathway, friends, that will be tried. It is a pathway of tribulation. And remember this, that Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Poor sinners such as you and me often find in our great straits that we cannot see our signs, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to fear, and we are forgetful of those promises that the Lord has caused us to trust in those former days. We think because we are full of change and decay that the Lord is, but he is the same. Or how we might then seek the Lord to increase our faith and to confirm our souls with those evidences that he knoweth the way that we take. Job had to learn many a painful experience. He had to be in the ditch. He was at the uttermost ends of the earth. We also have been singing with reference in our first hymn to the pathway of Hezekiah. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Think of that, friends, if we had the voice of God say that to us tonight. Oh, what trembling there would be for us. What an exercise of prayer there would be. And if you and I are children of this God, if we are chosen vessels unto honour, then there'll be much prayer poured out. Lord, prepare me. Wean me from the world. Grant me that preparation. Grant me that knowledge of the pardon of my sins. Grant me the assurance of my sonship or my daughtership with God. We want to be at peace at last. And how can we ever hope to obtain this everlasting peace and righteousness? Through the imputed robe of Christ's righteousness. What an exercise there would be then if we, and we each have the sentence of death in ourselves, if the Lord should say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The man was more concerned about his much goods and what he was going to do with them, and pulling down his barns and building greater ones. O thou fool, he said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. You know, we go on sometimes as though we're going to live forever. What a mercy when the Lord reveals himself to us and speaks to us and says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. You see, the Lord's presence goes with his dear people. And he will make the darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things not one thing, but these things in the plural. Your steps, the way you take. The Lord knoweth the way that you take. And he's going to try your faith and prove the reality of it. You see, there'll be a lot of dross about our religion. A lot of dross. But as the Lord causes you to be purged, and as he puts you in the fire, so it'll burn up all the dross. Gold in the furnace tried now loses all but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. We shan't have much religion, dear friends, by the end of the journey, but it'll be a mercy if we have a little that a righteous man has. It'll be better than the many riches of the wicked. These things will I do unto them. So the Lord will cause all things as they are sanctified to you and me. The trials, the afflictions, the circumstances that surround your little life. Minute circumstances, great circumstances. The way you take. The Lord knoweth it. He knoweth the end from the beginning. All for faith to put our trust in him. To commit your way unto him. Trust also in him. And finding him, bringing it to pass. You know the Lord will give you that heavenly wisdom. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. You know what it is to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, walk and not faint, when you feel the power of the Spirit resting upon you. But he knows how to bring your heart and mind down with labour, and there's a needs be. You fall down and there's none to help. Some affliction, some trying circumstance. It may be an enemy of the truth. It may be an enemy within the truth. Satan will use whoever he will to try and cause havoc in the churches. And he seems in this day to be succeeding in a measure. But remember this, the Lord reigneth. And the Lord is going to, by these things, manifest whose are the chosen vessels and who are not. And what a mercy, dear friends, when we are able to live peaceably one with another. But we shall not have peace at the cost of the truth. And so as it was with the Lord Jesus, he procured unto himself many enemies. Pharisees, Jews and scribes were all in that sense. They were jealous of the following that he had. You see, it proved whose were those that had a fleshly religion and who are those that had a spiritual religion. And oh, how vital it is for you and me to have a Holy Ghost religion. And you and I will not be permitted to get very high. And we shall realize this, we grope for the wall like the blind. A man can receive nothing unless it be given him from heaven above. So you'll know what it is to groan within your spirit. You'll be found groaning before God at the throne of grace, and it'll be pleading for him in this way that seems to be dark, wherein your eyes are holden that you cannot seem to know him. Like those Emmaus Road disciples, they were walking by faith. They were speaking of those things that they had hoped would they yet further see of the workings of the Lord Jesus, the miracles performed. Now you see, their eyes were holden when he drew near because they could not know him, but he was known of them by them in the breaking of the bread. There's an appointed time, sinner, for the Lord to come where you are and reveal to you a little of these precious, precious crumbs that fall from his table. You see, you won't get You won't get a whole loaf, as it were, but a few crumbs now and then scattered from the table. A few sips by the way to just keep your soul from fainting and famishing. Lord, my friends, is a sovereign. These are treasures. And you and I will possess but a little treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. I will bring, I will lead, I will make. And this is the work of the Lord. What a mercy, dear friends, that he will bring, he will lead. You see, no two experiences will be alike. One he will bring as a blind man, another he will lead in ways that they have not known, and another he will of necessity make the darkness light before them. And oh, what a mercy, dear friends, that he make the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He is a faithful God, and he is a mighty Saviour, and he's able to come right where you are. And it is vital he does come where you and I are. We cannot go to him unless he draw us. But he has said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now he puts an aching void in your heart and mine. And our aching void is for a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of Christ, a desire for him to reveal himself. He is omnipresent. He is in our midst. He has promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We cannot see him, but one day we shall know him as we are now known. This is the prospect of you, for you, poor sinner, that has an aching void that the world could never fill. You want to win Christ and be found in him, not having your own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in the Son of God who gave himself for you. We cannot begin to value the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ and that meritorious suffering. We cannot begin to comprehend this great show of his love, this great token of his love. Think what it cost him, friends, all that we might enter a little more by faith into the sufferings of Christ, and to realize that all this was done for you, unworthy sinner. And Christ will reveal that, because as he's shown you your sinnership, so he will bring you as a blind sinner by a way that you knew not, and lead you in paths that you have not known. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. You cannot deviate from them, because he has appointed you to obtain eternal life through Jesus Christ's dear Son. His dear Son has satisfied the just demands of the law for you, unworthy sinner. Oh, what a mercy it is. If there's a hope in your heart tonight, that blessed language we've sung, good hope through grace, it'll get your soul to heaven, friends. And you shall be more than a conqueror through him. Oh, blessed object of faith is Jesus Christ. I would have clearer views of him, but I hope that I can exalt him high upon this gospel pole, because there's no other name given among men under heaven where you and I can ever hope to be saved. Oh, what a Saviour he is. And he's going to bring you, dear friends, to heaven at last, to that desired haven, to be forever with the Lord, where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. Oh, I feel, dear friends, a glorious pathway if the Lord is bringing you and leading you this way. He'll make the darkness yet light before you. You know, dear, Saul of old was a sinful soul, wasn't he, when he was hailing men and women to prison? But there was an appointed time when Christ's light shone into his heart greater than the midday sun. Oh, what a time that was, dear friends. His eyes were blinded. His natural view was blinded, but he had the eye of faith and he was found praying. And even Ananias the priest even questioned with his God this man who prayed. And the Lord said, "Behold, he prayeth." And how the Lord rebuked Ananias and said, "Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to preach my name among the Gentiles." And what a mercy, dear friends. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And you see whom he will he hardeneth. Or how he hardened Pharaoh's heart. But oh, my friends, how he has a favour towards his people and visits them with his salvation. Now he'll bring you this way. You'll know what it is to grope for the wall like the blind for this precious truth. Your looker, your desire that he might lead you into these paths. It's not a broad way, is it? It is that narrow way. His track I see, says one, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. It's walking by faith and not by sight. You know you'll yield obedience to his commandments if there's any love in your heart and mine. He says, "This is the way when ye walk, this is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right or to the left. I am the way." It's following then in the footsteps of the flock of God. It is that we might, by the Spirit's leading, arise and follow him. Oh, what a pathway it is, this pathway of the just, which is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The Lord says, "These things will I do unto them." So he's drawing you in the way that you knew not, the ordinances of his house. Maybe you're exercised in this matter. Oh, he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Leading you in paths that ye have not known. You may raise up obstacles. You may raise up hindrances in coming. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Now, do we feel our need of him, or are we self-sufficient in our religion? You know he'll empty you and me of all self-righteousness and religious pride. We shall come with nothing. We shall come with emptiness. We shall come with poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know you'll call nothing your own. You'll come with emptiness and poverty. "Lord, lead me forth by the right way," will be your prayer. "Lead me and guide me into all truth. And do keep me from the love of sinning. And do keep my mind stayed upon thee." You know, there's much need for prayer in our hearts, isn't there? To pray that the Lord would guide us by his counsel and afterwards receive us into glory. So what do you do? Beg of the Lord that he would bow down thine ear, O God, for I am poor and needy. You want him to save you for his mercy's sake, for the waters have come in over my soul. You feel sometimes when this dreadful foe of your soul, the enemy of souls, comes in like a flood, that you feel all your religion will be destroyed. You feel that you'll yield to his tempting power. And you must submit to it. He's so powerful and influential upon your mind. But you have to prove this. When most we need His helping hand. This friend is always near, with heaven and earth at His command. He waits to answer prayer. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have bought thee with a price. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I will bring thee, draw thee, I will lead thee. So He draws you by His sweet resistless grace. That's the miracle of grace, isn't it? It's irresistible. And grace, dear friends, reigns in a sinner's heart. Though you fear sometimes that you lack grace, you pray to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, and you fear sometimes that you lack grace. But you see, the more you humbly lie at the footstool of mercy, the more grace He will give you. You see, He gives more grace to the humble. So when you're groping for the wall, when you're in these paths that you have not known, so you see, you've led by faith to cast all your care upon Him. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because the influence of His Spirit gives you faith to believe the rest of the word. For He careth for you. Oh, what a mercy to have faith to believe that He careth for you. Now come what may in your life, the enemies of the truth that are before you, the unknown way to you is the same, dear friends. The end will be the same, dear friends, as the beginning with regard to the presence of Christ. You see, He'll not fail you. He'll not forsake you. This God that has paid dearly for your soul is precious in the sight of God and the God-man Jesus Christ. Why? Because He has bought you with a price. Bought you with a price, your soul, dear friends, redeemed from the curse of the law with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, He saw His seed on Calvary's tree and was satisfied. He had prayed for them in the garden, and now He has satisfied the just demands of the law for them. Is He going to reveal to you then the way? We have to venture on Him. Venture on Him, venture wholly. It is putting your trust in this mighty Saviour. And He has said, as He is now ascended into heaven, I will not leave you comfortless. These things I will do unto them and not forsake them. He'll not forsake you, friends. You may be in bondage through fear of death. You may be in darkness. You're fearful of the way that is hidden from you in the unknown way. It is venturing by faith. It is pleading with the Lord this. He may not give you the answer, but Moses said, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. We've had to plead that, I believe, from time to time in the pathway. And although the Lord has not immediately replied with the answer, my presence will go with thee. But we reflect a little on those promises of previous days. That promise that I've already spoken tonight. And that those promises, dear friends, are forever. Those promises, as I said, He said to me once, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. If He's with you, friends, then He's not against you. If He's with you, He's for you. And if He's with you, then, dear friends, it'll be cast out the enemy from before you. It'll be cast out the enemy from before you. Oh, happy art thou, O Israel. All these are these sons and daughters of God by blessed adoption, Israelites indeed, in whom there will be found no guile. What a mercy if you and I know something then, dear friends, of this, the favour of God resting upon us, as these Israelites indeed thrust out the enemy. I am with thee, and they shall not be ashamed, he says, that wait for me. What a mercy then to have this God as our God. And so the Lord knows all about the way that you and I take at present, and he'll not fail you, and he'll not forsake you, because he is that faithful God that promised. And what does he say concerning he was with Moses, so he was going to be also with Joshua. And he says to Joshua, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. And so he goes on to repeat it. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What a mercy if this Joshua's God is our God. He'll not fail you, he'll not forsake you. You may on the main of temptation be tossed, your sorrows may swell as the sea, but none of the ransom shall ever be lost. The righteous shall hold on his way. For the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, and he shall prevail against his enemies. Oh, this is the privilege of these sons and daughters of God who put their trust in the God that rules in heaven, that reigns amongst the armies of heaven and in the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Or think of the love of the Lord to poor unworthy sinners. This great love wherewith he has loved us, and therefore with his loving kindness will he draw you. He'll draw you as those chosen race vessels, and you shall get the victory. Get the victory. You know, and when you get the victory, it'll be because he will drive out the buyers and the sellers from your heart. He has ascended on high, he has led captivity captive. He hath received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And he'll dwell with you, sinner. And there'll be those sips by the way when he draws near, when you even through the mercy of God you feel a little love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Your bosom glow with love, glows with love. Oh, and if such the sweetness are you, if such the sweetness of the streams when you receive these sips of his love, if such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. And you'll know some of these crooked things, these rough places, these tried paths of the child of God. But the Lord has promised they shall overcome at last. And he said, whose are these, my Lord? And he said, these are they that have come up out of great tribulation. sin is the cause of all our woe here below, but you'll come up out of great tribulation and wash your robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, you're going to present you perfect in that great day. And it is marked the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end is peace. And it's an everlasting peace. It's a perfect peace. Everything here below is marred by sin, but the mercy is to reach that desired haven at last, to be in heaven with Christ, which will be far better. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that trust in these graven images. How prone we are. You want the Lord to tear these images and idols from your heart. You want to be peaceful and alone. You want the Lord to draw near, soften your heart by due degrees, make your spirit meek. For he dwells with him who's of a humble and a contrite spirit and trembleth at his word. Oh, how we tremble at his judgments. But oh, how we would be found humbly waiting upon the Lord, pour out renewed strength, and for the Lord to come and say, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Daughter, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. All for that living faith, that hope in his mercy, and that grace to endure unto the end, that we might prove the truth of his word. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. As for God, his way is perfect. He is a buckler and a shield to them that trust in him. And he says, I will be as a wall of fire round about them, and thee, the God, the glory in the midst. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. May the Lord increase our faith to still trust him where we cannot trace him, and prove that he will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I not fear what man should do unto me. Amen. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.